Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy Friday, or as I like to say, Fri-yay to you all. That's right, the end of the week is here. The weekend is near. It is May 8th, 2020. And thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. A few things we got to tackle on today's Current Sports. In just a moment, I am going to tell you about another Michigan State recruit. MSU football continuing to go to work. Mel Tucker doing a great job, even though he is confined to the crib, just like all of us are due to the coronavirus pandemic. Very impressive stuff. Also, I am going to give you guys some news and updates when it comes to at least two sports that are trying to put the wheels back on the track and continue. One of those sports will be in action this weekend, and I think you know what I'm talking about, UFC. And the other sport I'm talking about is NASCAR. Yeah, I'll tell you how NASCAR plans on implementing its sport back on television and trying to do it, of course, in a safe way. Also, I will dive into the night that was in the NFL. The NFL has really been one of, like, the safe havens, right, for sports right now because there isn't a lot going on. Everything has been canceled, excuse me, or postponed. And right now, the National Football League with the NFL draft and then last night's NFL schedule release, it has given us some things to talk about. And we are grateful for that here on Current Sports, aren't we? Because every day we're usually talking about some kind of postponement or cancellation or discussing, you know, how sports can get back on track, how the new normal will look in the sports world. But the NFL has so far operated as business as usual. That, hey, we understand this is going on, but we still got dates set in place. We're still going to hold the NFL draft and make these dreams come true for all of these young men. But, you know, eventually, with everything that's going on still, and I know things are loosening up a bit when it comes to states across our nation, but we are still undergoing this pandemic, and the NFL is going to have to make some adjustments when it comes to the pandemic. So the NFL schedule was released last night, and you better believe I am going to have some thoughts on the Detroit Lions. When looking at the Detroit Lions schedule for next season, what does it look like? And again, you'll get my way too early prediction on how the Lions will perform on the gridiron based upon who they play, when they play them, etc. All right, so we'll dive into that. And also, I'm going to have some thoughts on the Juwan Howard University of Michigan men's basketball transfers. Just trying to make sense of it all. Because, you know, for the past like 4 or 5 weeks, we have been reading transfer news when it comes to the Maize and Blue
in which players are saying, yeah, I don't think this is the right place for me. Why is this happening? And what does it mean for Juwan Howard's second season as the head man in charge? And there are a few things that I want to hammer home that you got to think about when looking at all of this transfer news. All right. Really, in my opinion, no fault of Juwan Howard. All right. So we got a lot to get to on today's show. I'll also be closing the show out with Reflection Friday, where we look at the week that has been in the world of sports, and, you know, not too much, right? Because, again, no sports are happening right now. But you'll get my thoughts on that as well as beyond. All right, we'll dive into some non-sporting topics as well. All right, so if you would like to be a part of the hour, you know how you can do so. Pick up the phone and text 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can leave us a comment there. You can also tweet me at AlMartinWKAR or tweet the show at WKAR News. And forgive me, I'm kind of struggling over here when it comes to my nose, man. You know, these allergies are really killing me right now. And anytime the weather is fluctuating like this, I mean, we're only going to have a high in the 40s today. What in the world? Wasn't it just like 70 degrees a few days ago? Oh, that's Michigan for you. And we may even be talking about snow in the coming days. I tell you, it's May. It's May. Come on, weather gods. All right, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this May 8th. Okay, let's start here. Again, Michigan State football recruiting news. After receiving three verbal commits from the 2021 class last week, the Michigan State football program received another one on Thursday night. Michael Gravely Jr., who is a three-star safety out of Ohio powerhouse Glenville, announced his commitment to the Spartans on Twitter. The 6'1", 193-pound safety is a three-star player, according to the 247 Sports Composite, the number 74th safety nationally, and the 39th overall recruit in Ohio. Now, Glenville is coached by Ted Ginn Sr., the father of Chicago Bears wide receiver Ted Ginn Jr. Gravely chose the Spartans over offers from Colorado, Pittsburgh, West Virginia, Wake Forest, Cincinnati, and Temple. That's among others. Gravely is one of many that has received offers from Michigan State football coach Mel Tucker when he was with Colorado and again with the Spartans. So how about that? Again, Michael Gravely Jr. committing to the Spartans via Twitter. And again, this has a lot to do with the connection that Tucker had while at Colorado. He's trying to bring a lot of those players and a lot of those prospects to East Lansing. Makes a ton of sense. All right, the NFL released schedules last night. And, you know, this is always an event. It's amazing how high the ratings are. And it just shows you how here in America, the NFL rules all when it comes to the world of sports. The NFL can hold a schedule release show. Again, a schedule release show, and it will still top anything in comparison that's happening that night in the sports world. So, of course, I know many of you Detroit Lions fans have had reaction and takes when it comes to the NFL schedule last night and how it looks for your Detroit Lions. So just let me comb through a few things here before you get my hardcore thoughts in just a moment. All right. For Detroit, the Lions, it's a challenge next season that will begin with a September 13th season opener at Ford Field against the Chicago Bears, marking the first time the Lions will open up against an NFC North opponent since 2013. That's followed immediately by a road trip to Lambeau Field to face Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers on September 20th. So it'll be back-to-back divisional foes for the first time since 2005. That game also kicks off an early season stretch featuring four road trips in five games over the span of 6 weeks in three different time zones, no less. There's a scheduled bye in week five, same as last season for the Lions, but that's a lot of travel coming out the gate, isn't it? Now, for the first time in 5 years, the Lions won't host an NFC North opponent for Thanksgiving. Instead, it'll be Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans visiting for that nationally televised game, offering a flashback of sorts to the infamous Jim Schwartz challenge flag game against the Texans back in 2012. Remember that? The Lions also will finish their season against a team other than Green Bay for the first time since 2015. They'll also host the Vikings on January 3rd, while the Bears play the Packers. So, also, I want to let you guys know how the entire schedule looks here. I just previewed some of the big news there. In the preseason, they will play at New England August 13th. Also, August 20th, the New York Jets. That will be at 8 p.m. on ESPN, so that's a primetime matchup there. But again, that's just a preseason. August 27th at Miami. September 3rd against Buffalo. And during the regular season, this is how it looks. September 13th, they will play Chicago at home. September 20th, they will be at Green Bay. September 27th, at Arizona. October 4th, playing host to New Orleans. October 18th, at Jacksonville. October 25th, at Atlanta. November 1st, at home against Indianapolis. November 8th, at Minnesota. November 15th, home against Washington. November 22nd, at Carolina. November 26th, at home against Houston. December 6th, on the road against Chicago. December 13th, at home against Green Bay. December 19th to the 20th, at Tennessee. I'm guessing when it has that dash there, I'm guessing December 19th or the 20th. December 26th or the 27th against Tampa Bay. And then on January 3rd, they will close out the season at home against the Minnesota Vikings. So there you have that. There are no primetime games for the Detroit Lions because, well, it's the Detroit Lions. So no Monday Night Football, no Sunday Night Football. That's just how it is. No Thursday Night Football. That's how the schedule looks, and I'll have hardcore thoughts on the Lions schedule in just a moment. Here's a wild story coming out of the National Football League. The wife of Baltimore Ravens safety Earl Thomas was arrested last month after the couple's domestic altercation that included Nina Thomas pointing a gun at her husband's head and chasing him with a knife. How crazy is that, right? Talk about a lead. That was after, according to TMZ Sports, of course TMZ Sports is reporting this, that was after Nina Thomas discovered that Earl Thomas was cheating on her in a sexual encounter that involved Thomas's brother and two other women. The report states that on April 13th, Nina Thomas held a gun to Earl's head when she confronted him. The cop said she took the magazine out of the gun but was, quote, unaware that the gun still had a round in the chamber. After Earl Thomas was picked up by his brother, Seth, Nina used her husband's Snapchat account, of all things, to try and determine his whereabouts. That's when she discovered a video of him with another woman. That's a regular old Maury show playing out in the life of Earl Thomas. Oh boy, just glad nobody was hurt there. All right? Okay. From that wild story to this one. It's official. Tiger Phil 2 will be held Sunday, May 24th at Medalist Golf Club in beautiful Florida. Oh boy, this is wild in a good way. Turner Sports will present Capital One's The Match, Champions for Charity, which will be a live golf competition headlined by Woods and Mickelson, returning for a rematch, this time joined by Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, two of the NFL's greatest quarterbacks of all time. The broadcast will be simulcast exclusively on TNT, TBS, True TV, and HLN starting at 3 p.m. again on Sunday, May 24th, with pre-match coverage available in the Bleacher Report app. I'll be watching. I can't wait for this. The trash talk already has begun, though, with Phil Mickelson showing off the trophy from his victory in the match in 2018 and Woods quickly answering fire by covering himself with the green jacket that he won for winning the Masters in 2019. So I love it. Some trash talk happening between those two. Now, according to the New York Post, the NHL has shifted its reopening plan from completing the regular season to heading right into the 24-team playoff field, a 24-team playoff field that would include a best of three play-in round involving 16 teams. So that's interesting stuff there. The Red Wings of Detroit, who have 11 games remaining, would not be included, having clinched last overall. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman, he has repeatedly slated that the league is willing to play into September to crown a Stanley Cup champion. Now, many issues need to be resolved before the league returns to any form, including regular testing for COVID-19 for all involved and travel restrictions between the United States and Canada. But again, it looks as though the NHL was going to try this out and try and get the season going. And again, they're not afraid to play into September. All right, so we'll see how that pans out, and we'll see if that comes to fruition. NASCAR will return next weekend at Darlington, but not without safety precautions and a stern financial warning to anyone who doesn't follow the coronavirus guidelines. Officials sent a memo to teams on Wednesday detailing actions that could result in fines up to $50,000. There will be no fans in attendance for the May 17th race. NASCAR laid out safety protocols, which are personal protective equipment, PPE, has been mandated. Anyone in the infield must wear a cloth mask. Health screenings are required. Everyone must follow social distancing guidelines. Teams are limited to 16 people per each car roster. So the memo states that those who don't follow the guidelines, pretty hefty fines here, can be removed from the premises. The potential fines are reduced to between $5,000 and $25,000 for the Xfinity Series and between $2,500 here and $12,500 for the Truck Series. So, yeah, again, and when it comes to more, you know, extreme actions here, again, it could result in the fines of up to $50,000. So, bottom line, you don't want to break the rules here. All right, but, you know, NASCAR, you look at NASCAR and you say, yeah, why not? You know, NASCAR is one of those sports where you are confined to the cabin of your car. You're not having direct contact with other athletes who drive cars. So, yeah, you can pull this off. And then, again, yeah, limit it to just needed personnel to get this event started. And those who are members of the respective camps of those racers and those drivers, you know, make sure that they're following the coronavirus guidelines. I like it. You know, NASCAR is one of those sports that, yeah, you can pull off here. Okay, another sport that will be getting underway pretty soon, this one sooner than NASCAR, UFC 249. The main event of the UFC's first card in nearly 2 months is now official. Tony Ferguson and Justin Gaffney both made weight on Friday morning in Jacksonville, Florida. So today they both made weight for that interim lightweight title bout. Both fighters weighed in at 155 pounds. Now the card is scheduled for Saturday night in front of no fans at ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena. Friday morning's weigh-ins took place with social distancing protocols in place due to the coronavirus pandemic, part of a wider plan by the UFC and local officials this week. Ferguson versus Gaffney was initially scheduled for April 18th, but if you remember, that got canceled. That card was supposed to take place at the Tachi Palace Casino Resort in California. That was scrapped when the UFC was asked to stand down by execs from broadcast partner ESPN. Now, Gaffney is filling in for Khabib Nurmagomedov, who was supposed to defend his lightweight title against Ferguson, if you remember. So, we will see UFC take place this weekend. It will have no spectators, but just to have some live sports on television is going to be nice. So if this goes smoothly, we could see the UFC continue to put together fights in the future to whet our sports appetite just a bit. And, you know, maybe it provides some kind of blueprint for other sports to experiment and hold events. So we'll see what happens here. But UFC 249 will take place. And last but certainly not least, Todd McShay didn't just miss the draft. He didn't see his children for 40 days. Thankfully, the ESPN NFL analyst is on the mend, quote, fully recovered from the coronavirus, and of course already back to work breaking down what he missed. But McShay's diagnosis was announced hours before the first round of the NFL draft last month. The crown jewel of his year-long reporting on college football's top prospects, and the reality of not being involved in ESPN's virtual production hit McShay hard. This is what he told colleague Adam Schefter in his latest podcast. Quote, I got really dark in the hospital. I knew the draft was going on and I couldn't watch it. I couldn't watch the draft until Saturday night. I woke up late that night and there was a re-air that I started watching because I knew it was over. For whatever reason, I couldn't watch the draft knowing that I wasn't a part of it, wasn't on it, and I felt like I was letting everyone down. Todd, you let nobody down. We totally understand. Somebody is dedicated to his job like Todd McShay. You get his mindset, but hey, man, we totally get why you couldn't be there, dude. So it's good to see that he is fully recovered. And just another reminder that, hey, man, this thing is serious. Be safe and be smart, okay? That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk about the NFL schedule release and the outlook for your Detroit Lions. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I hope everyone is doing well out there, and I'm glad that this hit me when it did, because I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention this on today's Current Sports. But hey, man, Sunday is Mother's Day. So I want to send out a special happy Mother's Day salute to all of the moms out there who listen to WKAR's Current Sports. I want to give a very special Mother's Day salute to my grandmother, who still lives on the west side of Detroit. Talk to her every single day. My grandmother from Trinidad and Tobago. Love her so, so very much. And also, my mama. Moms, I love you. She's down in Florida with my grandmother, who is a Trinidad native, and actually my grandmother from Trinidad. She is actually staying with my mom and my stepdad and my little sister down in Florida in the Fort Lauderdale area. for the entire year, which is very, very cool that both my mother and my grandmother, her mom, are going to be spending Mother's Day together. How special, how precious is that? Don't get no better than that, man. It's awesome, awesome stuff. So, Mom, I love you. I thank you so much for all that you've done and continue to do in my life, being one of my inspirations. And, you know, thank you so much for raising me into the man that I've become. So I love you, and I'll talk to you on Sunday. All right. That's awesome stuff. It's going to be a weird Mother's Day for many of us, right, because of the pandemic. You know, it's not like we can travel anywhere. Not many people are hopping on a plane and flying anywhere, right? Normally, I mean, I would like to fly down there and spend Mother's Day with my mom and my grandmother down there, but yeah, this situation doesn't allow me to do that. So, however you celebrate, again, utilize, thank goodness for technology right now, right? You know, everybody using Zoom now and video chatting with one another. You know, thank goodness for FaceTime and text messaging. You know, without technology, gosh, I would feel so disconnected from so many different people, especially loved ones during a troubled time like this. So however you're celebrating, please celebrate. Still, don't let the pandemic take that away from you, but celebrate responsibly. That's all I ask. All right? Awesome stuff. I still gotta order flowers for the incredible women in my life, the incredible mothers in my life. So, all right, let's move along here. I want to talk about the NFL schedule release because, again, it just amazes me. Because even with With the pandemic aside, you still get like a crazy amount of attention, when it comes to the NFL schedule release. But now, you know, especially it's heightened now to a crazier level because there are no sports taking place. So, you know, if you didn't pay attention to the schedule release before as a sports fan, which there aren't many that don't, you really locked in this week. You were really locked in last night. And Detroit Lions fans, oh, man, I feel bad for you yet again. I just do. Because you are already a franchise that is in a really crucial moment, right? I mean, every year for you guys, for fans out there of this franchise, every year I feel like is a crucial moment, but this is what I mean. In years past, I mean, we don't really expect much from the Detroit Lions, period. But When you have the possibility of a coach who, if he doesn't perform, maybe let go, and you have to go back into rebuild mode, and a general manager who hasn't done a great job since he has taken over the franchise. I mean, both of these men, and Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, have a spotlight on them this upcoming season that is making their chairs a little bit hot right now. Without a doubt, you can't argue that. The rumblings in Detroit about those two men possibly losing their jobs if they don't at least make the playoffs this upcoming season, that chatter is so loud. And deservingly so. So anytime you talk about a possible coaching change, if performance isn't up to par for any franchise, let alone the Detroit Lions, that's serious stuff. It's not like a normal Detroit Lions year where, okay, if you have a losing season, cool, but, you know, you still got some pieces coming back and your head coach is going to come back. No. Anytime you talk about a coaching change, it just further sets you back. The Lions, they're looking like they're in a win now. They are in a win now mentality. I'm still salty over the Tua Tagovailoa situation because I do believe that Tua is going to become a star. That's just me going out on a limb. Again, it's really hard to tell with these young players coming into the league who have never played professional football before. Some thrive, but many, more than those who thrive, many fall and don't live up to high expectations. But it's just something about Tua. His maturity, his work ethic. There are injury concerns for sure, but it's just something about him that I think we're going to be looking at and saying, wow, the Lions could have had him. Especially when you're dealing with a Matthew Stafford who has already had two seasons, back-to-back seasons, in which he has broken his back literally trying to carry this franchise. But again, I've said that enough. When it comes to the outlook for the Detroit Lions season, again, a few things I want to comb through here. When looking at the schedule for the Lions, they open up the season with back-to-back NFC North games. So we get right into it when it comes to conference play, right off the bat. They have a mid-October bye week, no cluster of non-conference games that could easily be eliminated if the league needs to shorten its season due to the pandemic at any point this fall. So, again, that's still up in the air, too. I say all that to say that when addressing the pandemic, I don't know if the league is going to start on time. I don't think they will. There are still so many wrinkles to iron out here, especially if you don't have efficient testing for COVID-19 yet. Because before you take the field, I mean, you would imagine that these athletes who, I mean, and football is a very physical sport, as we know. How can you hold games in a sport as physical as football, players breathing on each other, and sure, they got on a lot of equipment and they're wearing helmets and so on and so forth, but still, you're right there coming into physical contact with another man, play in and play out. If you don't have efficient testing, how can you safely put out your players? So just take that into consideration when discussing this schedule and discussing NFL dates coming up. Things, I believe, are going to shift here. Things are going to get postponed, just like in other leagues. That's just my prediction here. As I mentioned, also absent from the Detroit Lions schedule is primetime games. There are no primetime games, and I get it. Who in the world wants to watch the Detroit Lions play football on a Thursday, Sunday, or Monday night? It's just bad television. Unless you are a Detroit Lions fan, you do not care about this franchise. One of the bottom feeders of the league. They don't move the needle ratings-wise. So, I mean, last season, gosh, 3-12-1. 3-12-1. Forget how bad they were. 3-12-1 last season. You lost starting quarterback Matthew Stafford for most of November and December due to a back injury. You had a laughingstock of quarterbacks who tried to come in and hold down the fort behind center. It was so ugly. So with that being said, if you win three games the year prior to, the NFL was looking at you and saying, yeah, we'll go with another team for that Thursday night game, for that Sunday night matchup for MNF. Because the Lions, they're just ratings killers, man. So, you know, the NFL has said for weeks it's planning to play a traditional season, even as COVID-19 restrictions have just had a tremendous impact on leagues everywhere. So we know that. And, you know, I gotta look at now. I'm going to look at the season and give you my way too early predictions. And again, they're not also playing in, you know, I brought this story to you guys. I believe it was last week. The Lions will not play the Jacksonville Jaguars in London. That's done because of international travel and the pandemic. So, you know, there are some interesting games here. You know, they open up with four of their first six games on the road, two sets of back-to-back road trips in that span. Week three, after their trip to Lambeau Field against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers and the Lions, they will then visit Kyler Murray, who is a very good young quarterback, and the Arizona Cardinals. In the Cardinals, boy, oh boy, was that a game or what against the Lions last season? They host Drew Brees and the Saints in week four. That bye comes October 11th, and then they will close out that month with consecutive road games against the Jaguars and the Atlanta Falcons. So, a few notes here. The Lions play the entire AFC East in the preseason. For the second straight year, the Lions play on the road the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Last year, they lost to Washington and then lost to the Bears on Thanksgiving 4 days later. This year, they visit the Carolina Panthers on November 22nd. The Lions have three road games on the second half of their schedule at Carolina, Chicago, and Tennessee. And only their December 6th game at Soldier Field will be considered a cold weather affair. And the Bears are 5-5. In their last 10 December or January home games. So those games are toss-ups. Had been toss-ups for the Bears in the month of December. And the Lions have seven games against five 2019 playoff teams, including two each against division rivals in the Vikings and the Packers. That's not going to be easy either. They play five of this year's top 10 picks, including, yes, Miami's Tua Tagovailoa, in the preseason. So that'd be interesting to see Tua get some time there. He is the franchise quarterback for Miami now. But, you know, the Lions, gosh, when looking at this schedule, it's not going to be easy. When you take in consideration what I stated, I mean, just looking at how they start the season, you play Chicago, very solid team, Green Bay, made the playoffs last year, and up-and-coming Kyler Murray, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the New Orleans Saints against Drew Brees, all to begin the year. I mean, honestly, I could see the Lions losing all of those games to start the season. I hate to say it, but 0-5 wouldn't be unrealistic. Now, do I think they're going to go 0-5 to start the year? I think they find a way, maybe, best case scenario, to win at least two of those games. Two of those games is what I'll say. At Arizona, again, if Kyler Murray shows some rust, and again, he's still a young quarterback, still trying to figure things out. And then at Jacksonville against the Jaguars. I think those are, you know, the two games that the Lions have to look at and say, all right, we could win those two. We could win those two at least, right? But those other three are just tough. You know, the Jaguars last season, they went 6-10. And again, young quarterback in Kyler Murray, he's gonna have his struggles, growing pains. But looking at the rest of the schedule here for the Detroit Lions, I mean, after that, Falcons tough game, Indianapolis Colts, the Vikings, that's a tough stretch right there. Washington should be a win. Carolina, Houston on Thanksgiving, Chicago, Green Bay. I don't see, looking at this schedule, best case scenario for the Lions is a 6-win season here. That's how I see it, at least. 6-10 is my prediction. And that is not going to be good enough to make the playoffs. And then we start talking about Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia, again, not living up to expectations. But 6-10 is my prediction. You know, if I had to put myself on the spot here and predict those 6 wins right now, gosh, okay, I say they go, they'll beat Arizona on the 27th, that's one. Jacksonville, so September 27th at Arizona, that's a win. Jacksonville on October 18th. I say they find a way to beat Washington on November 15th. That's 3. 4 is going to come. Gosh, and they played Tom Brady, too, on, you know, around Christmas time. That's going to be fun to watch, just to see Tom Brady. 4, that win is going to come against Indianapolis on November 1st. And then my last 2, I say they find a way to beat Tennessee in late December. And I think they, let's see here, I say they get an upset win the second time they play Green Bay. I'm just going out on a limb there and saying that. But it's realistic that Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are going to sweep the Lions next season. But I'm just going out on a limb and say, hey, they get an upset here against Green Bay on December 13th. But not guaranteed, though. So I'm going 6-10. What say you? We're looking at this schedule, and it's do or die mode for Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn. When looking at this schedule, how do you think it fares for the Detroit Lions? Text us at 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment there. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit our final break and come on back. We'll close out the show with brief thoughts on the transfer situation for Juwan Howard and the University of Michigan men's basketball team and Reflection Friday. You're listening to the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Just a few more minutes here left in the hour. Making sense of the Michigan men's basketball transfer situation, I feel like every single week we are talking about another player who has decided to leave Juwan Howard's program. Cole Bajema was the latest transfer, and that news came on Tuesday, following former teammates David DeJulius and also Colin Castleton. And you know, looking at this, it may seem like a troubling trend at Michigan. Really, though, it's just the norm for college basketball. I don't want to panic here when looking at what's happening out in Ann Arbor. You know, especially when you look at last year's coaching change in Ann Arbor, where you had John Beilein testing the NBA waters, and I do mean testing. He was there just for a cup of coffee out in Cleveland coaching the Cleveland Cavaliers, where coaching careers in the NBA go to die. And Juwan Howard coming in to replace Johnny B. Check this. There have been more than 760 transfers since the start of last season. That's amazing. There were around 700 in each of the previous 3 years. That's an average of 2 transfers per Division I program. This isn't just a Michigan problem. So when you look at that by measure, Michigan lost just one more player than the average team. And I don't think that any other Wolverines are going to transfer from this point on. You know, in the Big Ten, Ohio State also had 3 players transfer since the season ended. Illinois and Iowa each had 2. Maryland has had 4. Nebraska has had 5. The only 2 teams that have avoided transfer so far are, check it, Northwestern and Tom Izzo's Michigan State Spartans. That's it. So to put that in perspective, again, when you look at all of that, a large number of players have decided to chuck up the deuces and change schools. Simple as that. And you think, well, looking at the reasoning behind this for a lot of these transfers, you would think it would just be about playing time, right? I'm not getting a lot of playing time. I need to go somewhere so I can get mine and get seen by professional basketball scouts. That was the initial thought process. But now you are seeing guys transfer who played a lot. But other circumstances, like you're playing a lot, but you may not be starting. I mean, it's like, come on. That's just the basketball climate that we live in today. You're going to allow me to transfer to another place, even if I'm getting a lot of minutes. But if I'm not starting, again, that's the ego, right? If I'm not starting, I'm going somewhere else. And look, I can't sit here and blame these young men, because at the end of the day, we all know how I feel about the college system. It exploits young athletes, young talented athletes, and the NCAA is profiting pretty lucratively off of these young men. So at the end of the day, look, man, I don't care if you get tired of the campus. For whatever reason you want to transfer, go ahead, man. Go ahead. Until they start compensating you guys, you don't have any loyalty to the NCAA or that school. Now, we can discuss the moral code of that conversation on a later date, but I think you catch my drift here. But this isn't a Juwan Howard Michigan problem. This is happening all across the board in college basketball. Simple as that. And we're looking at the transfers that Michigan have had. Those were John Beilein's players. Those were not Juwan Howard's players. All right. Before I close out the show, Reflection Friday. You know, it's been a very interesting week, a very different week. I've been saying that every Reflection Friday here on WKAR's Current Sports. But we're getting through it day by day. For my Reflection Friday, I just want to give you guys a shout out. I had a really great time earlier this week reading your comments via Facebook and via text. I just want to give you guys a shout out for still rocking with us during this pandemic. I really appreciate you guys. So that's where my reflection comes from. And also, again, a very happy Mother's Day to all of the Current Sports mothers out there who tune in and day out. We love you. Hope you guys get some flowers in the mail, get some chocolate, get that present you want. I know my mom, she always,
I feel like she just asked for the most expensive gifts you can get on Mother's Day. So I am going to go broke right now as I make sure it's shipped to her on time. Oh, boy. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend. And as always, be safe, be smart, and be easy, people.